Hey, Gary, how you doing?
Are you still on that cruise?
Oh, the cruise was great.
How did it go? Good MC gig, huh?
Man, it went fantastic. We had a beautiful time on the cruise. I've never actually been on a jazz cruise before. This was my first one, but it was absolutely fabulous.
Let's give us some of the names of the musicians that were on there.
Oh, my goodness. We had Diane Reeves on board along with Pancho Sanchez. Marcus Miller and his band was there. Herbie Hancock performed. So many other people.
Many of these individuals that were on the cruise, you're personal friends with, and of course you've already had them on the show here, Live with the Jazz Cat.
Yes. Go ahead, Gary. I'm sorry.
They've been on the show Live with the Jazz Cat, and I guess many times we tell everybody go to the archives. It's getting to be to the point with your Live with the Jazz Cat show. There more who hasn't been on, you know.
Gary, I'm sorry about that. We had such a fantastic time. You know, I was hosting many of the stages, and I had some intimate talks with a few of the artists, with James Carter and Pancho Sanchez and Diane Reeves. It went over really well. Mm-hmm. I had something called The History of Jazz with Marcus Miller, and both of us talked about Miles Davis's 50th anniversary of Kind of Blue. It was really pretty extraordinary.
How long was the cruise? Was it a week, 3 days?
The cruise actually was a lot more than 3 days. Mm. The cruise was It was a 7-day cruise, and we sailed first into San Juan, Puerto Rico, and after that we went to an island called St. Barth's, which was just absolutely beautiful. From there we went to an island called Nevis, and then an island that actually the cruise lines owned, which is called Half Moon Key. And, you know, I had so many duties to do every day. I didn't have a lot of opportunity to spend a lot of time on the islands because there was so much going on the ship. Mm-hmm. There were multiple stages on the ship, one called the Vista Lounge, which was like a gigantic concert hall on the ship. It was unbelievable. And a lot of the main performances were there. James Moody and Roberta Gamberini and Roy Hargrove was there, and James Carter was there, and all of these great players like Diane Reeves and Marcus Miller, who I mentioned earlier.
Right. I guess people already know you from your Live with the Jazz Cat show. They also know that you are one of the MCs at the Monterey Jazz Festival every year, normally in Dizzy's Den, I guess. That's been your place lately.
Yeah, there were a few people on the ship that had been to the Monterey Jazz Festival, and there was a Los Angeles faction on the ship as well. And those people, of course, you know, they were happy to have me there on the ship, just kind of representing, you know, the city of Los Angeles and the West Coast. They had other hosts as well on the ship. They had a comedian by the name of Alonzo Bolden, as well as another program host who's been working on jazz radio in Miami for 30 years, and his name was Len Pace, and he was hosting some of the different stages and having some interviews on the boat as well.
Was there any particular performance that stood out on that jazz cruise over 7 days?
Oh, my goodness. Diane Reeves' performance was absolutely incredible. Of course, it always is.
Who was with her with Diane Reeves today?
Diane didn't have her normal band, but the normal people that were in the band, Humero Lobambo was there playing guitar. Reuben Rogers was there playing the bass.
Right.
On drums this time was Kendrick Scott,
who
was there playing. And, of course, her regular pianist, Peter Martin, was performing.
The album itself, you know, I've played it countless times now with Diane Reeves. We were actually at the recording with George Duke. And anybody from that album? Was Jeffrey Keyser on board? Anybody else?
Diane Reeves.
Well, look who's online with us today, Diane Reeves.
Hey,
Diane.
How you doing?
Oh, we're doing great. You just popped in like magic right at the time that we're talking about.
Like a genie.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh.
Just like, it sounded like that. Diane, Gary.
Like an angel. I was telling everyone here on Carmel Radio and, of course, on Live with the Jazz Cat what a wonderful time we had on the Playboy Jazz Cruise.
Oh, my goodness. Look, I went kicking and screaming, but I'm ready to go for the next one now because I had such an amazing time.
Oh, we did. The islands were so wonderful, and the music was great, and we got a chance to interact with all of the people on the boat. It was just pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, there were all kinds of people. The demographic was very, very broad, and people came to have fun and to listen to music. They were all very sophisticated listeners. They listened to everything from, you know, blues to funk to traditional music, and all with the same energy and love and appreciation. And as an artist, being you know, you asked me earlier in the thing, you said, you know, on this cruise, how does it feel, you know, being here, like, captive by the audience? And it was amazing because I got the chance to talk to people and meet people.
Yeah, most of the time when you perform, you get a chance to do your show. You go backstage. You may see a few special people that get a chance to come backstage and tell them how much they love your music. But this time, you're on the ship with them 7 days, so breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you're walking around. People are coming up. They're taking pictures, and they're very gracious, and they tell you how you've inspired them with your music.
Yeah.
And it's just wonderful.
It's a healing. It was fun. All I know is the next time they have one, pick up the phone and go, because it is just so worth it. I could have stayed on there another week.
Yeah, we had a real wonderful time. Sounds like we had somebody else buzz in, too, and that was my guest for today, Luis Perdomo, who looks like he's a little late coming in. Luis, is that you?
Hey, Leroy, how you doing? Yes, that's me.
I'm very well. I have on the line Diane Reeves and Gary Hamada from KRML Jazz and Blues Radio.
Yeah,
oh,
Luis.
Wow, cool.
Hi,
oh,
Diane.
Hey.
Hi,
how
Diane.
How
good? Everything good? Everything good.
Good. We were just talking about what a wonderful time we had on the Playboy Jazz Cruise that we were on for this past week. It was so wonderful. So many extraordinary artists were on the boat. On the ship, I should say. The ship is huge. I think there were like at least 2,000 people that were on board.
1,800, which is really a nice number.
All right, I bumped
it
up.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, and you know, they separated all the dinners so that 900 people can see the show and 900 people were at dinner, and
right.
Then they switched it back around, and the second 900 people came for the next set. It was pretty extraordinary.
It
oh,
was.
Wow, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Live with the Jazz Cat on the show on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. My name is Leroy Downs. My guest today, Diane Reeves from the Playboy Jazz Cruise, the first annual Playboy Jazz Cruise, and Mr. Luis Perdomo, who did not get a chance to take the cruise, but is one extraordinary pianist.
Thank you so much.
Next cruise.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to let you talk to your guest, but thank you for having me on your show.
Anywhere I am, Diane, you know that you are more than welcome every time.
Thank you. Well, have a good time, you guys.
Thanks. Nice talking to
you. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Well, Luis, how you doing, man? This is Leroy, and you're on the show Live with the Jazz Cat. And just glad to get you on. Looks like you're on a little bit late. I don't actually know how much time we have left because Gary said we were a little bit short on time.
Right, yeah, I just got caught up shoveling snow outside.
Shoveling snow, that's what happens when you're in New York City, right?
Then all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, the interview. So I just ran into the house.
Well, want to talk about really quickly this latest album you have out on Crisscross Jazz, and that one's called Pathways.
Yes.
Well, tell me a bit about the players that are on the album and how this session came to be.
Well, the musicians in the group, I've been playing with them for a number of years. With Hans Glavichnik, which is the bass player, I've been playing with him for maybe 15 years. We met at the Manhattan School of Music. And, you know, we've been playing together in a number of different groups. And with Eric McPherson, the drummer, I've been playing with him maybe for about 9 years, and you know, and also different formations. But as part of my trio, we've been together for about 5 years.
Oh wow, incredible!
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're from Venezuela. I mean, that sounds like such a romantic country where such lush, green, rolling rhythms and indigenous to the land fill the air. I mean, how does Ghetto Crino hone in on, you know, cats like Bud Powell and Cecil Taylor from Venezuela?
Well, you know, I was real lucky when I was growing up because, you know, my father, he's not a musician, but he has a real extensive collection of records. And, you know, in that collection you can find all kinds of music, basically. And he's a big jazz fan, and he is a big Oscar Peterson and Bud Powell fan. So I grew up listening to, you know, a lot of jazz. And also, you know, I grew up listening to all, like, the traditional Latin music that you heard on the radio. Also music from Cuba, music from Brazil.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was real lucky in that sense. Actually, you know, one of the... Now that, you know, you were talking to Diane Reeves, there is a piano player that used to play with her. His name is Otmaro Reeves.
Otmaro, man, good friend of mine and great pianist.
Yeah, who is also from Venezuela. So, you know, that's one of the cats that, you know, I also grew up listening to. So, you know, I was real lucky, you know, to have, you know, to be around all that talent.
Well, here's something that's really interesting, too. You know, Diane and I, as we mentioned, just got back from this first annual Playboy Jazz Cruise, and it cruised to the Caribbean, and you happen to have a Caribbean jazz project.
Oh, yes. Well, actually, I've played on a few occasions with a group called the Caribbean Jazz Project. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
With Dave Samuels. And, yeah, I did a number of gigs with them. And, you know, it was a real extraordinary adventure for me, you know, to get to play with those guys and be on tour with those guys. And you know, that's the music that I grew up listening to and playing, you know. So it comes as, you know, basically a second nature to me.
Yeah. You're listening to the show Live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio on the For Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. We've had guest today, Diane Reeves, who has left the premises, but we do have pianist Luis Perdomo. You know, Luis, I mean, I don't know whose album it was I heard, but it was someone's album, and I was listening to piano. I said, oh my goodness, who is that? And I picked up the disc, and I looked, and it was you. And that's kind of when I discovered your album, Awareness. And,
oh, okay.
Of course, you know, Pathways is your latest album. And I love the song, Bienza and Me. It's a favorite of mine.
Oh, yes. You know, I have a real funny story about that song. You know, the first time I heard that song, it was in a Ray Barreto record. You know, the great percussion player.
Oh, yeah.
Ray Barreto.
Yeah.
And that record is called Reconstruction. And the first time that I heard that record, I was maybe 7 or 8 years old. And I was, at that time, I just wanted to hear, like, real fast, you know, rhythmic music, you know, like salsa, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that particular song was the bolero, which is the slow song in the record. So I always skipped it. I never listened to that one, you know. But then, like, after, you know, a number of years, I actually started listening to a song, and I would say, wow, this is a real, real great song. You know, I really love the changes and the melodic line. So, you know, I always had it in mind that I wanted to record it at some point.
Yeah.
And, you know, when the opportunity to do the record, Pathways, came on, I was like, oh, wow, you know, that would be... Perfect place.
For
that, yeah.
Yeah, that's lovely. You know, I did an interview last year with someone that has a beautiful album that you recorded on, Mr. Miguel Zenon.
Oh, yes. Yes, we just finished another record, which should be out, you know, I don't know, within the next year. And it came out real, real good, actually. And we're actually leaving in 2 days to Europe on tour for like 3 weeks. And that's another real good experience that I have, you know, I've been lucky enough to be a part of, you know, to get to play with Miguel's quartet.
Yeah, you know, I mean, with so many experiences of playing with, you know, quite a few notable players, I mean, how has it affected your thoughts toward new ideas and new composition for yourself?
Well, you know, I would say that I'm pretty open-minded, you know, towards the kind of music and styles and musicians that I like to listen to and that have influenced me. So, you know, I've been real lucky to get to play with musicians from, you know, from jazz musicians to salsa musicians to classical musicians. And, you know, I feel very, very lucky. And, you know, sometimes it could be a drag, you know, when you like so many styles, you know, because then, especially when you try to discover your, or not discover, like establish yourself as a solo artist.
Right.
Because, you know, people see you in so many different
settings
that they don't really know what is it that you do.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, there are some people that they think I'm a classical pianist, that I just play, you know, as an accompanist, which I've done before, you know, to violin players or trumpet players in a classical setting. Some people think I just play strictly jazz. Some other people think I only play, like, salsa, you know. So it's like, it's, you know, it could be a drag in that sense.
Well, no, that's not a drag, man. That's all. That's a bunch of hats that you wear, and when you put on the classical, you just be Mr. Classical. When it's
right.
Jazz, you just burn the jazz, and when the salsa comes on, you start dancing, man. It's all good.
Right. So,
well, you know, that's kind of a way for you as a musician to try to, not really to try, but it's just a natural way for you to broaden all of the things that you do. You can bring up, of course, we want you to bring all of those colors to jazz, but you can give those classical and you can give salsa a little bit of jazz too, you know.
Yeah, so, you know, and it's also good for me just to have all those influences in there, because then, you know, you can approach the same style of music from a different point of view, and it will sound real fresh, you know, and it gives me the opportunity to try new stuff and, you know, discover some stuff, and also just to find out what won't work, you know, because that's another thing. You know.
Well, you know, fresh sounds in the music is definitely what we as listeners appreciate. You know, I for one don't think that we need to keep hearing the same thing done the same way over and over by different artists. So when you bring new approaches to the music, and you're able to bring some of these different genres and styles to the music to try to carve and create it differently, man, I think that's really wonderful.
Yeah, and I also think that's very important, you know, just to keep the music alive, you know, just to give it, you know, different approaches and, you know, listen to the same or work on the same music, but, you know, from a different point of view. And at the same time, then when you go back and you listen to the traditional stuff, it sounds hip.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds hip, rather than just keep playing the same thing over and over and over and over.
No, man, fresh and hip, that's where we live, man.
You know, like I like doing some experimentation and, you know, some other kind of stuff. And then I go back and I, you know, go back home and I start working on my Fats Waller.
Wow.
Or on some James B. Johnson or some Scott Joplin, you know. And it sounds so hip to me that it's like, you know, wow, you know.
Well, if you can bring James B. Johnson straight to the future, man, and make it hip, that's what, you know, we really need to do, man. These young people will start digging on James B. Johnson and have no idea how far they're going back in history with the music.
Yeah, and also, you know, as far as playing the instrument, you know, those pianists from the 20s and the 30s, you know, they were real, you know, complete pianists. You know, they could play, you know, they had like a real big harmonic sense. They had a real use of the left hand. So, you know, that's something that I'm, you know, I want to bring into my playing again, you know. But then, you know, approach it from a different point of view.
Yeah. That's beautiful. You all are listening to the pianist Luis Perdomo right here on the show, live with the Jazz Cat. My name is Leroy Downs, and you're listening to it on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio on the For Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. Well, like many composers, you know, you write for the distinct sounds of your musicians. What are some of the aspects that you take into consideration to present challenging and intensified compositions while always, you know, maintaining the Perdomo flavor in your music?
Right. Okay. So, you know, one of the things that, you know, after thinking about it and after people, you know, many people asking me about it, you know, like, what is it that, what is your stamp? You know, when I listen to a record of Luis Perdomo, you know, what is going to tell me that's Luis Perdomo?
Right.
And, you know, thinking about it, like, I just don't really play with that in mind, you know. I just play. But after, you know, I think about it, I think the one thing that really, you know, you could tell it's me is just by the rhythmic approach that I use sometimes. Even, you know, when I play jazz, I hear mostly, you know, how a conga player would play a solo.
Yeah, it's percussive.
Yeah, and I think it totally fits within the jazz, you know, language. I guess you just have to phrase it in a different way.
Yeah.
But the same rhythmic approach totally fits into the jazz context. And the reason for that, I think, is just because, you know, both styles, jazz and Latin, they have the same root, which, you know, is Africa. You know, everything comes, you know, from, like, the sound of the drums and all the stuff. And I think that's what makes, you know, that you can go between both of those styles, you know.
Yeah.
And you can borrow, especially from the Latin thing, and put it into the jazz. So that's something that I always, you know, think about. And it's funny because I was also thinking about one of the phrases or rhythmic phrases that I use a lot, and that I guess I borrowed that from the great timbale player Manny Okendo.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when I'm, you know, like sitting down, like analyzing, you know, what is it, you know, what is that phrase, what is it that I do, and then I was listening to Monk, and he uses the same phrase in a song called Evidence.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you loop the first two bars of that song, it's that same phrase, you know?
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's just, you know, with the rhythmic thing, then I look for musicians who have some sort of knowledge of both styles, you know?
Right.
Especially, you know, they have a deep knowledge of the rhythm. And that's when Hans Glavisnik, who is the bass player that I play with in my group, that's when he comes in, because he really understands, you know, how the rhythms, like the syncopation, works in the Latin context. And, you know, he also has the whole jazz vocabulary.
And he's from Sweden, right?
Yeah, he's from Austria originally.
Austria, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes he plays the stuff better than a Latin guy.
That's a trip, man, that someone from another country can be so deep into the different rhythms of other countries, you know. It's beautiful.
Right. And then, you know, with Eric McPherson, he just, you know, he's like a painter. Like, I basically don't really tell him what to play. It's just like, okay, this is the song, and this is kind of like the vibe, and then just do whatever you do. And then, you know, I basically go with him.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just, you know, or he goes where, you know, I'm going musically. And, you know, I know that Hans is going to, you know, he's going to have my back in any situation that we go, you know, so.
Well, that's beautiful. That.
So I usually write for that context. Yeah.
Sure, you write for it, but you also trust your musicians. You know that they're going to take you in the direction, and you're going to take them in the direction, and they'll follow. It's like a morphing trio going in all directions. As soon as someone plays a note, then we follow this guy, and then the same thing with those guys. It always works.
Right, and the same with me, you know. Sometimes I follow them, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, hey, man, I know we're a little short on time here, but I got one more question to ask you. You know, I went to Chicago to the Velvet Lounge, and I saw Henry Grimes work the violin and bass, man, and the world was about to explode, man. And how does the presence of such a major avant-garder add to the added sound of a second bassist? How does that increase and enhance the intensity and open up your creative choices?
Well, you know, I just basically wanted the Grimes sound. When I was thinking for another bass player for the Awareness record, I had in mind either Henry Grimes or Alan Silva. And I know that Alan Silva, he lives in France, and it's a little bit hard to get in touch with him. But for some reason, you know, I went to Henry's house and I spoke to him, and he was, you know, he liked the idea of doing the music. Plus, I've been a big fan of Henry Grimes since the first time that I heard him on a Cecil Taylor record called Conquistador.
Yeah.
And it's actually those two bass players, Alan Silva and Henry Grimes. So I was always in love with that record.
Yeah.
And since I was, like, I don't know, like 13 or 14 years old, you know, when I heard that record for the first time. And, you know, for me, you know, it was a dream come true, you know, to be able to work with a musician like that, you know. And in many ways, he's kind of like, you know, he's kind of like, or I'm kind of like him, you know, because he's a guy that used to work, you know, with Benny Goodman, and he worked in so many different settings. You know, he worked with Art Farmer and Jerry Mulligan, that quartet that they used to have.
Right.
Then, you know, from that, he went to work with Albert Eiler and Cecil Taylor, you know, so, and everybody in between, like Sonny Rollins. You know, he's not a guy that is stuck in one era, you know.
No, just like you, he knows how to open up the music so that all the genres and generations can enjoy.
Right, so, you know, I always felt that, you know, like a connection with him in that sense.
Beautiful. Hey, man, well, thanks for coming on and hanging out with us on Live with the Jazz Cat. Your brand new album is called Pathways. It's on Crisscross Jazz. And you are one extraordinary pianist, and I want everybody to go out and pick up that album. Luis Perdomo on Live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. Thank you, Luis.
Hey, thank you so much, Leroy.
You got it, my friend.
Thank you. Okay.